Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join with us on Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Let me remind you that the format that we use is what I call Q&A. I will set the stage. We'll talk about the issues and allow you to ask the questions, and we'll respond to your questions and comments about the issue of the day. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. That call gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphone so that we can respond to your questions or comments. Very important theological, doctrinal issue that we'll be dealing with today, and it connects with what is taking place as a result of the coronavirus called COVID-19. And the question that we'll be asking, we'll be talking about, be the future chips and vaccines. The future chips and vaccines. How does it play into the biblical prophecy? How does it play into what God is saying and doing? And is it something that is relevant for today? Or should we just simply ignore it? I believe that we need to analyze the scripture and see what God says and look at some of the documents and the information that's taking place. You know, Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx and Dr. Tedros have all said that we need a vaccine. And Bill Gates, that does not wear a white coat, but he's become the talking head for all of the white coats across the nation and around the globe. Bill Gates with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation own and or control somewhere between 7 and 9 of the major pharmaceutical development centers around the nation. And they're pushing for their vaccine to be introduced into the human population as immediate as possible. What does the Bible say about that? Why should we be concerned about that? Is there a biblical text that deals with that that will allow us to see kind of a glimpse, foreshadowing of what shall take place in the future eschatological text according to the Word of God? Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you that we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's the truth book. It is the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It doesn't just contain truth, it is truth. It's not just an occasional tidbit of truth, it is total truth. From Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22, it is the truth book. And Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He made that statement to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32. And then in John 14:6, Jesus made a statement, said, I am truth. He is the focal point of truth. The Lord Jesus is truth. Jesus is the word incarnate, if you will. In John 17:17, Jesus says, thy word is truth. It is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God that we should stand on as the truth source. And as we look at events that are unfurling in our society day by day and week by week, it seems as though the clock is ticking, the calendar is peeling off the days in a rapid fire. And as we see that taking place, where is this old world going? What shall take place in the future? How shall we live according to what we're seeing? We need to stand on truth. George Orwell many years ago said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. But I like the statement by the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. And may I challenge you with that today. that as Christians, we ought not to be persuaded to believe a lie. We ought not to be willing to just go along to get along. We ought to take a stand for the truth, seek the truth, listen to it, learn it, love it, tell it, and live it. And ladies and gentlemen, defending the truth. And I believe God's called on us today, in particular in the era in which we're living, to defend the truth, to stand for truth. And if you understand that many, many, many things today that have been spoken by the false news, the fake news, and through the socialist, Marxist, communist, Democratic Party, and those that are aligned with it, it's everything but the truth. It makes it difficult for the average person to wade through the morass of untruths to try to ascertain what is truth in the marketplace of ideas today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the equipment for homeowners like brands like Honda and Echo. They also carry a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the Honda generators. They have a full staff of knowledgeable people that can answer all of your questions about the landscape lawn care equipment for the professionals as well as for the homeowners, and also can answer all of your questions about the hurricane backup equipment that is needed. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's the location, the home of the gigantic flag. Flagpole stands about 165 feet there. Gigantic flag, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Find Old Glory flowing. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're seated where you can do so, let me invite you to open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 13. We're going to just do a brief cursory overview of the 18 verses there. Talk about them briefly as a way of introduction to our subject today. And our subject we're talking about vaccinations and the chips, the vaccinations. It is promulgated in society today by Dr. Birx and Dr. Fauci, by Dr. Tedros of the World Health Organization, and by Bill Gates and multitudes of others that are pressing for and fast-tracking the research and development of a vaccine that will be able to make sure that we're all protected from each other, and that that vaccine will carry forward to allow us to go into businesses, do business, and to buy and sell and trade. It's the vaccine that they're depending on for that. But ladies and gentlemen, when we think about that subject, my mind goes immediately to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. What does God's Word say? Does it have anything to say about the vaccines? Does it have anything to say about tracking or surveillance or the observation or the movement, looking at the movement of human beings on a global basis? And it does. That's found in Revelation, the 13th chapter. We're going to talk about that today as a precursor to what we want to say in relationship to the coming forced, governmentally forced vaccinations, the governmentally required coronavirus vaccination. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just simply say early on, if the government can come in and supposedly with a crisis or with a major pandemic and then determine that it is for your good and for mine, that they control our bodies and that we're going to be forced to take a vaccine, when is the next emergency, when is the next crisis that they can force us to do other things that's contrary to what God would have us to do, especially as Christians? But ladies and gentlemen, in Revelation chapter 13, there's a text there in the 18 verses, and time will not allow in several broadcasts to cover verse by verse of chapter 13, as I normally do as I'm preaching from the pulpit, verse by verse and chapter by chapter of the biblical books and the biblical text. But ladies and gentlemen, for centuries, theologians and pastors and biblical scholars and biblical students have marveled at the biblical text found in Revelation 13, 1 through 18. In this text, we discover a global dictator having the power, the ability, the authority to find, to trace, to follow, to watch, and control every human being on planet Earth. No, this text is not science fiction. No, this text is not a myth. No, this text has not already been fulfilled. No, this text is not just some allusion to truth. No, this text is not to be viewed in some philosophical, symbolic manner. It is to be viewed in the literal interpretation of what the Scripture says. So, and it talks about in this text, ladies and gentlemen, of one stepping out from the sea of humanity in verses 1, 2, and 3, and that one that is referred to in all of the scriptural references, he's referred to as the man of sin, the son of perdition, the wicked one, the lawless one, the little horn of Daniel 7, the beast, the dragon, that old serpent, the devil, Satan, and he's called the Antichrist. He is the one, ladies and gentlemen, that's spoken of in Revelation 13. He steps on the sea, out of the sea of humanity, into a position of prominence and prestige and power and authority. And according to the scripture, in the third verse of the 13th chapter of Revelation, this individual, this man of sin, this Antichrist, anti meaning against Christ, this Antichrist will come on the scene. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just do a little parenthetical footnote for your understanding theologically, chronologically, and biblically. The simplistics of it is this. The next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. If you're saved, if you said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, as I have, we will not be here when the events of Revelation take place. We understand that the rapture of the church is the next thing on the calendar of God. Immediately following the rapture of the church, then what we see in Revelation text, by the way, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 is a good focal point to go to when you find the chronological placement of the rapture of the church. The classic text on the rapture of the church is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, which we're going to be suddenly see snatched out of this whole world. So this text that we're talking about today as a precursor, as an introduction to the forced vaccinations that's coming down the track for the required coronavirus vaccine that's going to be required, that's very, very fast, being very, very fast tracked today. The precursor to that is what we find and understand with the understanding of what God is saying in His Word in Revelation chapter 13. But prior to that taking place is the rapture of the church before this man of sin, the Antichrist, the lawless one, steps on the scene. He will control the whole universe. He will have power and prestige and prominence, and it will be given to him. Keep in mind, God is sovereign. God is ultimately in control. But this power and authority will be a satanic, demonic authority and power that's given to him, the scripture says, by Satan himself. But in the third verse of Revelation 13, it talks about the Antichrist, the one that is the beast out of the sea of humanity. They'll have a mortal wound. Yes, we do not know how. We do not know what the occasion would be. We do not know the setting. But the Bible is very, very clear that this Antichrist will have a mortal wound. In other words, he'll be slain. He will be killed. And by the power of Satan, demonic power, yes, demonic power, satanic power, this Antichrist will be raised from the dead. He'll be resurrected. And the purpose for that, according to the scripture, is so that everyone will follow him, believe him, be intrigued by him, and will bow down and be obedient to him in subjection and submission to him. Because the Bible says in verse 4, and they worship the dragon that gave power unto the beast, dragon speaking of Satan, the power given to the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast who is able to make war with him? Who's able to make war with him? In other words, after the Antichrist is slain, after he is resurrected by demonic satanic powers, the whole world will worship him, will follow him, and will be willing to submit to him. And the fifth verse tells us, ladies and gentlemen, the fifth and sixth verse, that this Antichrist, this one that is the beast out of the sea of humanity, this one that will ultimately be the prominent position of power and control over the whole earth, this one, ladies and gentlemen, will be one that will blaspheme God. He will blaspheme the person of God, blaspheme the place of God, blaspheme the people of God. In other words, when you read the 13th chapter, verse 5 and 6, you'll find that the Antichrist is against anything that's called church, or Christianity, or spirituality, or anything dealing with God or God's word. Time won't allow to go into and elaborate completely. But this Antichrist, according to Daniel chapter 11, verses 31 and following, this Antichrist will be a Sodomite out of an Islamic background that will absolutely dominate and control the whole world. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm saying that because we need to understand then verses 11 through verse 18 of this 13th chapter of Revelation deals with how he will do so and what he will do and why it is so integral to what we're talking about today with the vaccines that's being required, being pushed, and ultimately shall be legally required. Ladies and gentlemen, these events after the rapture of the church, these events are under the ultimate control of God himself. Nothing is out of God's control, but God's already told us in his word that Satan is the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2:2. We understand that Satan is the one that dominates today as far as world events and secular events and what is taking place in the political arena in particular. We find that to be true. But ladies and gentlemen, it is understood when you look at the text that this Antichrist, go back to verse 2, and as I summarize that, he is crafty, he is cruel, he is crushing, he is in absolute total control of this old world when he steps on the scene. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that this satanic, demonic Superman will have that mortal wound. He'll be raised from the dead. And the scripture says, and all the world wondered, that means to marvel, to be astonished, to be amazed after the beast. He will gain global, total power, prominence, and control after he is resurrected. He will become Satan's Superman, according to the scripture. But ladies and gentlemen, according to the latter portion of that chapter, this Satan's Superman, this one that will have domineering control over the universe, this one that will be able to control the movement of human beings, this one that is referred to as the Antichrist, the son of perdition, the man of sin, the beast, this one will have one that will be his co-author, if you will. This one will have a false prophet, that is a false religious leader. False meaning it is pseudo-phony. He will be a religious leader, but will not be a Christian. And the scripture says that he's going to be able to exercise, the scripture says in verse 12, and he exercises all the power of the first beast, speaking of the Antichrist, before him, and causeth the whole earth to, and them that dwell therein, to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. This false prophet, this false religious leader, will be able to point to the Antichrist and point to his supernatural resurrection and cause the whole world to worship and to follow after him. And the 13th verse tells us in chapter 13 of Revelation that he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by sword and did live. Ladies and gentlemen, as late as the 1960s, the late 60s, there was a marvel and a wonder how that would take place. In fact, I'll never forget reading the book by Dr. John Walford called The Book of the Revelation, and it was the unveiling and the revealing, verse by verse, did a wonderful study and preparation and authorship of that book. But even then, just as I've said for hundreds and hundreds of years now, for centuries, pastors, theologians, Bible scholars, Bible students have wondered how these things could come about and what would bring them to fruition as it is seen in the biblical text. Now, that doesn't mean the biblical text had been wrong. It simply meant until now, we've not had the understanding of how these things would take place. But as a result of what we're seeing today, with the modern exponential growth and development in technology and the artificial intelligence and the way things are developing today, it just jumps right off the pages of the Word of God as to what God is saying and what God is going to do. But as we find in the text, there's coming a day, and eschatological truth will be that we see in this text is after the rapture of the church, where the Antichrist will step on the scene and rule and reign with the power of Satan, demonic supernatural power. And his false religious leader will be able to perform signs, miracles, and wonders that will force the whole world to look at the Antichrist and basically pay obeisance, pay homage, being subjection and submission to him. Now, as we understand the text, when we get to the 15th verse and following, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that was the image of the beast should both speak and cause that he may, that many as would not worship the image of the beast, that they should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, and poor, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might be able to buy, sell, or sell, save or except that he have the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, or as we better know it today, 666. Now, let me just simply fast track this discussion for us to get to the point of what I want us to understand today. That is, I believe, imperative that as Christians we understand where we're going as a nation, where we're going as a society, and what is taking place and what has brought us to this point, and how we're being manipulated on a fast-track basis to institute and to inculcate and to introduce into the system what God has already said shall take place. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, you tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We're introducing the subject today by an elongated monologue dealing with the eschatological truth found in Revelation, the 13th chapter, dealing with the future tense when the Antichrist steps on the scene and controls the whole world. Let me remind you, if you're saved, you won't be here, and I won't be here. But we need to understand the wickedness and the danger that looms ahead in this old world after the church is raptured out. We need to recognize that danger, and it should cause us to be passionate about reaching others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But notice in this text, ladies and gentlemen, it said that based on the authority of the Antichrist, there would be a need for a mark, a chip, an identification in the hand or in the head. They didn't say where in the hand. Some have said in the back of the hand. Some have said in the web between the index finger and the thumb, in that fleshly portion called the web of the hand. Some have said that it would be there. We don't know precisely, but we do know, based on some of the things that are taking place today, where some of these marks have been placed in the marking to be able to be used to enter buildings and to buy and to sell and to trade. And that's going to be the way that this is introduced into society today, based on the coronavirus, ladies and gentlemen, and the result of that. So we ask the question, just how will this be possible? We ask the question, how will the tracking and the control of every human being on the face of the globe take place? It will be by the mark, I call it the chip, in the hand of the head. As I have preached this text so many times down through the years, I've called it hand or head, question mark. In other words, you have your option, hand or head. But may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, it will be by the mark, the chip in the hand of the head. Ladies and gentlemen, the coronavirus that we still are faced with in America. Now, they are still trying to flex their muscles, these men and women in white coats that's supposed to have all of the answers. The Dr. Fauci, the Dr. Birx, and the Dr. Tedros. By the way, Dr. Tedros of the World Health Organization is not a medical doctor. But he's giving answers as though he feels that he is. And his answers and his recommendations, his discussions have been utilized by the fake, phony, false socialist Marxist media and by the fake, phony, false Marxist socialist Communist Democratic Party. They've utilized what he said to use it as a hammer to force Americans into the total lockdown that we have been faced with now for 3 months. Today, across the world, there's a very serious push, ladies and gentlemen, to implement a COVID-19 vaccination. They've got several other protocols that's being used today. Google is one, the application on Google. Another is Apple, with applications on Apple and Google that you can put that application on. They're not forcing it or requiring it now. But in my most humble thought and suggestion, any of the new models of the iPhone will have it automatically embedded in your phone. In fact, the telephones today, if you have an electronic device, as they're calling it, whether it is Android or iPhone or otherwise, you can be tracked by uplink satellite up to about a 36 inches of where you are. And they're wanting this device, this app, to be able to trace. Here's an article that says, Google releases huge trove of data tracking users' movements during COVID-19 crisis. Another one, Google tracking travels movement during the COVID-19 pandemic. Another one says, a potential coronavirus vaccine funded by Bill Gates is set to begin testing people with the first patient expected to start today. And that was on April the 20th. And ladies and gentlemen, the point is that they already have devices now, electronic devices that can track you. And the idea is that if you have that app on your phone and you get within a few feet, they're saying about 6 foot, within a few feet of someone that has COVID, has the virus, even though they don't show symptoms, they're asymptomatic, as it is called medically speaking, that it should be able to warn you so that you'll know to flee, to get away from them. Ladies and gentlemen, that's bringing about a greater separation in American society than I would have ever dreamed would be possible. It is where a person is looking at each person with a jaundiced eye, as I call it, trying to ascertain, should I in any way involve with that person? Should I in any way get closer for communication, et cetera, et cetera? It's bringing that about. But ladies and gentlemen, more devastating than that, more harmful than that, is the fact that now we're finding, with the reopening of America, we're finding restaurants that are building little plexiglass tents, as I would call it, over the tables. They're requiring you to have your temperature taken before you enter the door. They're requiring some states, some local governance are requiring that those restaurants and those places of business keep a record of who attends their business, who eats, and what table do they sit at. And then if someone near you, near there, near that person, then develops COVID-19, then that person, that restaurant owner, that business owner, will be able to go back into the health departments and the health officials will be able to go back and trace and retrack everybody that came near you. And in some cases, it's even thought that that restaurant or that place of business could be sued as a result of you getting COVID-19 for being there. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not just a hypothetical today. Over 800 cases, as I understand it, in the hands of attorneys today. I call them the ambulance chasers. The law firms called Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe, as I call it, that over 800 cases just in the state of Florida have already been filed as a result of potential COVID-19 lawsuits because some merchant, some restaurant, some business was not careful enough that allowed you to come in contact with it. So therefore, ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about is getting down to the nitty-gritty of the focus of today's broadcast, and that is that there's a fast track today, being fast tracked today for a COVID-19 vaccination. Bill Gates and Melinda Gates Foundation behind the major portion of that, funding it. We're going to talk about that. How should we respond? What should we do? What should we think of as far as the vaccine? Should we openly say, yes, we're going to have the vaccine? The vaccine that Bill and Melinda Gates has developed is absolutely on the very verge of being introduced into society and the possibility of being mandated by our government. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll finish this thought after the top of the hour news. We're going to have 1 minute break. After the break, hang in there. Don't turn your dial. Let's continue our discussion today about the vaccine or the chip. Hand or head.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.